I'm Pastor Candy Christmas of Regeneration Nashville, and I'm so happy to have this time together with you today. If no one's told you they love you yet, I want to be the first. I love you, and I'm so glad you're here. Today, I want to talk with you about the God of multiplication. We serve the God of, yes, addition. I love addition. Addition means you're adding, you're growing, you're getting better, you're gaining. But we serve the God of not only addition, but of multiplication. So I want to just read to you a couple of scriptures here. We'll start at Psalm 71, 21. And this is a King James Version. And it said, "Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side." This is King David talking there in Psalm 71. "Thou shalt increase my greatness." And I just want to stop right there and say this. God is not interested in you just staying the same. Because how many of you know you can't stay the same? Either you're gaining ground, or if you stop, you stop gaining ground, you stop pressing in, you stop praying and reading the Word, you automatically start taking steps backwards. You get cold in God. And sometimes when you stop praying and you stop seeking, then it becomes easier to grow lax or to grow lazy, if you will. So constantly we're increasing and we're going forward and being multiplied. Proverbs 4:18 says this, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto that perfect day." So we increase in brightness. Jesus said this, "You are the light of the world." And Proverbs 4:18 says, "And you'll shine ever brighter." I love that. So in God's first commandment, we see multiplication. We see this right out of the gate in Genesis, the first chapter, Genesis 1:28. When God made Adam and Eve, He blessed them and He said, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea." He didn't say, "Be fruitful and add." You know, when you add, you're gaining one at a time. But when you multiply, then exponentially you begin to grow and increase. Last week I went to my granddaughter's school for a little talent show, and they had a little boy there, and he was just adorable. He was like 10 or 11 years old, and his talent, much to my surprise, was multiplication. And he went to the microphone. He's 10 or 11 years old. So cute, so self-confident. And he just starts multiplying. And he says, 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16. 16 times 16 is 256. 256 times 256, you notice I'm reading this, right? It's 65,536. And he just went on and on up into the millions. And I was taken aback. I was like, wow, what a talent that this kid had. If I was voting, I probably would have voted for him. But incidentally, my granddaughter did win the talent contest. And so I was real excited about that. But I was so impressed with his multiplication skills and how quickly, it didn't take him very long to get up to the millions. But you see, 1 plus 1 is 2. 1 plus 2 is 3. You're just adding slowly. But when God blesses your life and you begin to increase, he commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. And so that is on humanity that walk in covenant with God, that we have the ability to increase and to grow. Multiplication was built into creation itself. Watch this. Fruitfulness is the evidence of life. So you get married and you have one child and then have two, unless you have triplets and quadruplets and all that, and that's certainly a blessing from the Lord. But normally you're just adding. So fruitfulness is the evidence of life. But multiplication is the evidence of God's blessing on your life. God's intention was never for his people to stay small or to be limited or stagnant. But his nature is expansion. Watch this. One garden becomes nations. One family becomes the children of Israel, becomes the whole, the Jews, the Hebrews. One seed becomes a harvest. God thinks in multiplication. A lot of times you and I, in our finite minds, we just think addition. But oh my goodness, when the blessing of the Lord, the commandment, be fruitful and multiply. So we see this in Jacob's life. I was meditating on this because I taught recently at Regeneration Nashville about the blessing of the Lord being on the head. And if you get a chance, I'd love for you to go back and listen to that. But in Jacob's own life, he illustrates this multiplication vividly. He arrives at Laban's house with almost nothing, yet leaves with enormous wealth, family, servants, influence, spiritually and materially. The blessing of God overflows in his life. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 10, we see this because Jacob says this, "You have been very kind to me. You did many good things for me. The first time I traveled across the River Jordan, I owned nothing, only my walking stick." So he gets to Laban's house. He's telling Laban, he said, "But now I have enough things that I have full groups." He said, "I got to your house with nothing but a walking stick." But because of the blessing of God on Jacob's life, he becomes wealthy. His flocks are multiplied. His servants are multiplied. His influence is multiplied. And his family is multiplied. Genesis 30 and 43 says, "As a result, Jacob became very wealthy, with large flocks of sheep and goats, female and male servants, and many camels and donkeys." You know what? All we need is the blessing of the Lord on our lives, and God will begin to multiply from a stick to great wealth. Laban changed Jacob's wages many times. But multiplication does not depend on the system, on how much you're getting paid and what your salary is, and can I get promoted to this position and again to that position, and maybe one day, you know, we can be there. Oh, no. It depends on nothing but the blessing of God. You can stop a man from adding, but you cannot stop God from multiplying. So let's move on to the New Testament, because Jesus Christ comes on the scene and he revealed the nature of multiplication in everything that he did. But I just want to read to you from Mark chapter 6, and we're going to start at verse 34. And if you don't mind, we're going to read several verses here because it sets up what we're talking about multiplication. Mark 6, verse 34. "When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd," the people that were following him and longing to be healed and their children to be delivered. And so Jesus has compassion on them, and he began teaching them many things. Verse 35, "By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. 'This is a remote place,' they said, 'and it's already very late. Send the people away that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat.' But he answered, 'You give them something to eat.' They said to him, That would take more than half a year's wages. Are we to go and spend that much money on bread and give it to them to eat? How many loaves do you have? Jesus said, go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fishes. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties, taking the loaves and the 2 fishes, breaking up, looking up to heaven. He gave thanks and broke the loaves. When he gave them to his disciples to distribute to the people, he also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. I just wanted to read that to you because it's such a beautiful depiction of the multiplication of Jesus Christ and his miracle working power. So Jesus took the loaves and the fishes and he demonstrates, see, they're talking about their economy. The disciples said, don't you know it would take a half a year's wage to buy enough bread for all these people to eat? But Jesus isn't concerned about their economy. He knows heaven's economy. And he begins to break this bread and to lift it to heaven, and he blessed it, and it begins to multiply. A little became abundance. Jesus did not ask, how can we conserve this? Just now give them a little bit now. Hold on. Just a little bit. No. He said, what do you have? What do you have in your hand that we can bless, that the God of heaven, that the economy of heaven can touch and multiply? Then he took it, he blessed it, he broke it and multiplied it. This is still God's process. Many times multiplication comes after brokenness. Friend, I just want to tell you right now, if you're going through a broken time in your life and you think, oh my goodness, my heart has been shattered. My life has been fragmented. How can God make anything out of my life? This should be an encouragement to you today, because it is in the brokenness that the blessing comes. And when the blessing comes, then multiplication comes. I've met so many people and heard so many stories of people who never really did anything in life. And they're, you know, they continued on in smallness and obscurity until they went through a time of brokenness. I'm thinking of Sister Maria Woodworth Etter, who buried 5 children. And she said, my heart broke. She said, I literally could feel my heart shattered inside of me. And she went to God and offered all the broken pieces to him, not realizing that out of this brokenness and this humility came the blessing and came the multiplication. That woman's life, God used her so magnificently. I'll just tell you, she wasn't educated in the Bible. She said, I'm not a preacher. God, I can't preach. And so she would go to the platform and the Spirit of God would come on her. She would just wait for the Spirit of God. And all of a sudden, she could see her text written in the Spirit right before her eyes. And she would read scriptures and read the text right before her eyes. And God would begin to bless it. And people would fall under the power of the Holy Ghost. All of this came from her brokenness. I'd love to remind you of Pastor Kent and his life. You know, he just pastored a small church there and he went through the hardest time of his life in Washington State. But in his brokenness, he sought God and the blessing of the Lord came on his life. He'd never prophesied before. He didn't even know what prophecy really was. He'd been used in tongues and interpretation. But through the brokenness came the blessing. And through the blessing came the multiplication. So I just want to encourage you that if you're broken today, if you feel fragmented today, look for the blessing. Look for the presence of God that will bring multiplication to your life. I've seen God multiply so many times. You know, I'm thinking of a time at Christmas time when I wanted to give Christmas gifts to the homeless, and we've served the homeless under the bridge for about 22 years there. And I was so excited. This was my first Christmas under the bridge with the homeless. And it was so important to me to give each one of them a gift. And I remember we had 167 Christmas gifts. And in those boxes, we had a flashlight and, you know, a sock hat. Some people call them a toboggan, a sock hat. Socks and, you know, all the candy and things. And it was so important for me to give every person a gift. Well, I announced it that we were going to have Christmas under the bridge and everybody would get a gift. And about 350 people showed up, about double of what I had. And I didn't know what to do because I didn't want anyone to go away empty-handed. So you know what we did? We laid hands on those boxes. And we looked to heaven and we blessed them. And I know it may seem hard to believe, but God multiplied those boxes. And every homeless person got a gift. Every person went away with a Christmas present, a gift. And would you believe we had enough? We had so much that we stacked them on a pallet and put them in the box truck and took them back to the warehouse. We had them left over. You say, Pastor Candy, I don't know about that. I want you to know that God's blessing doesn't add up on paper a lot of times. But when you lift it to heaven and you let God touch it, He will multiply. And God never gives just enough. He always gives some with leftovers because the Bible says that the disciples, they went and picked up 12 baskets of fragments and they had plenty left over. God does over and abundant what you need. I think that I quote this scripture in every podcast, but I'm going to quote it again because it fits right here. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. Incidentally, I just want to show you too, the crowd was chaotic. There were a lot of people and they were weary and they were following Jesus. And He did not randomly just start handing out bread. He made them sit down. One translation said in ranks of 50 and 100. The first thing that Jesus Christ did was He brought order to chaos before He blessed and brought multiplication. And many times we're going through chaotic situations in our family, in our work, in our job, and we don't know what to do, and the enemy is bringing confusion. And the first thing that Jesus Christ wants to do is to bring peace to your situation, to bring order. They sat down in ranks of 50 and 100, and God began to bless and to multiply the order. He took it, He blessed it, and He broke it. God still multiplies today. He multiplies grace. He multiplies influence. He multiplies disciples, multiplies resources. He multiplies our faith. He multiplies sons and daughters in the kingdom. I just want to show you this before we close, because this is a principle that even Jesus Christ Himself lived out in His own life. Because in John 6:35, Jesus Christ said this, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to Me shall never hunger, and he who believes in Me shall never thirst." So even the body of Jesus Christ was broken. As the bread of heaven, God broke His body and He blessed it And he multiplied the body of Jesus Christ so that now he doesn't just have one son. He has many sons all around the world. In all generations, Jesus Christ was broken and blessed so that many sons could come to the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ said this in John 12:24, "But I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and it dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels." Just think about it for a moment. You have one grain, one kernel of corn, maybe. And you put that, I'm not much of a horticulturist. My neighbor has beautiful plants he's growing. I watch him, okay? But one seed you put in the ground. And over time, that stalk begins to grow. And you don't just get one kernel of corn or one ear. You get a stalk. And that stalk has many ears of corn. And each ear has many kernels of corn on it just from one seed. If you feel like you're going through the dying process, it looks like your ministry has died. Looks like maybe family relationships have died. I want you to be encouraged today that this is where multiplication comes. And Jesus was our divine example. Unless a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And he showed that to us in his own life. So I just want to end with a couple of verses of scripture, if you don't mind. Job 8:7. "Though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly." Don't despise the day of small beginnings, because it says here, your latter end will increase abundantly. Daniel 11:32, I love this. It says, "But the people who do know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." I want you to be encouraged today, no matter the circumstance, no matter what you're seeing in the natural, be encouraged. The God of multiplication is blessing you. God bless you so much. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll be right here with me next time.